Fred Film Radio.
Fred Film Radio, this is Chiara Nicoletti from the second edition of Film Italy Sardegna Festival. I'm in company of William Baldwin, who's here to receive the Film Italy Award to talk about his career and his upcoming Amazon series directed by Nicholas Winnie Refn, Too Old to Die Young.
Do you think that being a public persona brings a sort of responsibility towards your audience to influence them even in social, you know, social problems or politics maybe? Or is something that is not connected to being, you know, public and being able to talk to so many people?
I think everybody on this earth, whether they're famous or not, have a responsibility to, I'm just going to sound like a super corny and cliche line, but to leave this place better than when we got here. We failed absolutely fucking miserably. We failed miserably. I hope these little generation X, Y, and Zers are going to save our asses. Because my generation of, like, the baby boomers destroyed the planet with plastic and petroleum products and stuff like that. Bad. There was a campaign years ago for Nike. I think it was for Nike. And Charles Barkley, you probably don't know him, but he was a famous basketball player. He played around the same time as Michael Jordan. He was on the Dream Team, the Olympic Dream Team. And in the ad, he said, because he's a troublemaker, and I love him. Don't get me wrong, I love him. He's a mouth. Always saying controversial stuff. Always talking. And like me, I talk a lot too. Always talking, always saying stuff like right on the edge of controversy, sometimes crossing the line. And in the ad, he said something that I didn't agree with and I didn't like. He said, "I am not a role model," over and over. "I am not a role model. I am not a role model." And the reality is, you don't wake up one day and decide you're going to be a role model. The kids decide. Your fans decide. They figure out whether or not they're going to follow you, look up to you, emulate your behavior. You're not part of the decision. If you win an NBA championship, if you get an endorsement from Nike, if you become rich and famous, if you leave basketball and you become the president, you know, you don't decide. So I think you have to, for those that are famous and powerful and wealthy, that decide to not embrace that role, I'm okay. If they they're just quiet and they stay out of it. But when they don't do it with constructively, and when they don't do it responsibly, and they're disrespectful, and they know the kids are looking up to them, then I have a problem. Which I've tried to do. I mean, I've made a lot of mistakes, but I've tried to. I've always been an activist, and I've always tried to. I've taken it very seriously.
Since you're a bit Italian, what?
Very little bit. I did a movie called Sliver. That's what they were talking about, Bruno. When I did Sliver, that's what they were talking about. I'm a sliver Italian, 0.6 sliver.
What's your relationship with Italian cinema? What do you like about Italian cinema, or maybe TV series?
I don't know if I could ever do a series here, because I don't speak. I'd have to really, really like cram. I could do a movie where I could prepare for one role speaking Italian and fake it. I could get the accent down. I could do it.
But what do you like about Italian?
But I couldn't do a series, because if I had to do that I would be faking. Unless somehow I took a crash course and you'd have to teach me how to speak Italian.
Is there a director that you like, even from the past?
I said it before today. I'm very intrigued about Valeria Galina, because I used to be sort of a little bit friendly with her. I always adored her, and I heard she's doing so great as a director. And not. I mean, I'd love to work with her, don't get me wrong, if you're listening. But I'd love to just, like, see her here and go have a coffee with her or something and have lunch with her, because she was special. She had very special gifts, you know. Very, very charming.
And going back to series, in Cannes, I talked to Nicholas Winnie Refn and Miles Teller about Too Old to Die Young. So, and I was wondering, how was this experience for you, since we know that Refn shoots in a very different way from other directors. He has his own times. He writes every episode on set, so it's totally a different experience from others, at least. So how was yours, and how was shooting with him?
You kind of answered your own question. It was unlike anything I've ever experienced. Nothing will be like that again. Maybe I'll get... The only way I could ever have something like that again is only if I ever work with him again. Nobody could ever recreate that. It's totally unique. It turned back the clock a little bit to a time when I worked in Hollywood where actors and directors and writers actually rehearsed. And then when we were shooting, you would do 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 takes, and you would play, and you would discover. And the process made you feel respected, and it made you feel appreciated as an actor. Now it's like 2 takes, going, moving, going, going, moving on, we're moving on, we're moving on. 2 takes, 2 takes, 3 takes maybe. So with Refn, you know, it was completely different. I mean, we were routinely shooting 12, 15, 20 takes in every shot, every setup.
He said that there's a difference between TV and streaming. Because for him, according to him, TV is dead, but streaming has infinite possibilities. What do you think? Is that true? Because you've done a lot of TV series, so do you think there's a difference?
Oh, I think, as I mentioned in some of my remarks before, I think technology changes the business. I mean, it's like an earthquake. And after an earthquake, after the last earthquake in California, in L.A., there was 600 aftershocks for weeks. And you're, like, holding on, like, not knowing what's about to happen, you know. Am I going to survive? Is the house going to fall apart? Like, that's what's happening. Like, tectonic shifts in the business because of technology. When my wife started as a recording artist, my wife's parents are the mamas and papas. My wife's in a band called Wilson Phillips. My wife's first record, she sold 10 million copies. She had 3 songs go to number 1 on Billboard, another song go to number 3, and 2 songs go to number 1 on Adult Contemporary with like 5 Grammy nominations. Wow. Huge. She didn't have to play live. She just sat back and counted her money because she sold records. All of a sudden, the internet, Napster, everybody started taking the money for free. Everything changed. Nobody can release an album. People can't even... The Rolling Stones would have trouble releasing a single. The Rolling Stones. You know, unless you're Taylor Swift and 5 other people, you know, it's very tough. So how do they all make their money now? They play live. The only way they're making money is playing live, and they make a lot less money. They have to work harder for less money. So that's what technology is doing to the movies. First, it went from network to cable. And then it went from cable to streaming. What happened when we went from network to cable? The cable people didn't make money. When you and I, if we went to a movie, they made money because we bought tickets. It's the only way they made money. If we watched a television series, they sold the advertising based on 5 million or 10 million or 15 million people in the ratings were watching that show. Now all of a sudden cable comes, right? They don't make money because you watch. They make money because you pay your cable bill every month. I pay my cable bill with my bundle, my telephone and my internet and everything. I pay whatever it is, $139. Every month, money goes to HBO. Even if I don't watch. So now everything has changed. Everything has changed. The playing field is no longer level. Then comes streaming. They say kids are going to want to watch movies. They're going to want to watch it on the big screen. Or they're going to want to watch it on a big flat screen in their home. My daughter watches Grey's Anatomy and Gossip Girl and like this in a car, in a bed. She watches it on an iPhone. So everything is changing because of technology overnight, and we have to adapt. I think that some good things have come from it and some bad. I think Nick Refn could be right. I think conventional television, as my generation and my parents knew it, not you because you're younger, you know, but it's going through a revolution. And I don't know if ABC, NBC, CBS, I don't know if they survive unless they adapt. There's so much money behind them that, of course, they'll survive, but they're going to have to adapt. Because if kids, I just released a series, Northern Rescue, and people around the world, I can't tell you how many tweets I got, hashtag Northern Rescue, that they consumed the entire season in one day, in one weekend, or in one week. I get so frustrating when I do that. I'm like, oh my God, I watched the whole show. I watched 13 episodes and now I got to wait a year. Like I'm so upset that I did that. I don't want, this show's so good. I'm glad I watched it, but it's like a drug. I want more now and now I got to wait. So they're getting smarter. Now they have, sometimes they shoot, especially with streaming, because it's not 22 episodes, right? So you can shoot two seasons in one calendar year. So you release 10, 3 months later, you release 10 more. People don't have to wait a year. They can wait 6-7 months and then they drop the second season.
Well, you're as crazy as Nick Craven, and you shoot one episode of 90 minutes.
He shot several episodes that were 90 minutes, yeah. This is 13 hours of television, I think, across 10 episodes. Yes. Yeah.
And he said that you just ran out of money. That's why he stopped.
Yeah. It was, anyway, I changed the subject. I got onto this tangent about like how technology is changing everything, and I think they'll adapt, but Nick was like, I didn't work with a lot of the cast. I worked with Nell Tiger Free, and I worked with Miles the most. And it was almost like experimentation. I almost wish that I was on drugs when I did it. I'm not kidding you. I say that jokingly, but if I could go back and do it again, and I had to do, you know, six or seven episodes on 10 episodes, I would like to try and shoot a scene. We're not hallucinating, not like acid or something, but I'd like to be in that process where I was working with him, because it was not like a drug experience at all, but it was unlike anything I ever experienced before, which kind of makes me feel like it was a creative high. So maybe while I'm creatively high with him, I should get high and then roll the dice and see what the hell happens. That might be fun. I'd love to do it again with him. I said to him when I went to the premiere the other day, I said, I've worked with a lot of madmen and I've worked with a lot of geniuses, and you score a 10 in both categories.
I love that.
You score a 10 in both categories, because he's crazy and the genius comes from the madness.
And we've been talking to William Baldwin at the second edition of the Film Italy Sardinia World, and this is Chiara Nicoletti for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.